Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of Get Wrecked, the only podcast anywhere in the world where two buds take turns recommending and reviewing some of their favorite pop culture hits, hidden gems, and oddities. I'm, of course, your host and resident silly boy Thor, joined today, as always, by my friend and co-host. He's hot-blooded. Check it and see. He's got a fever of 103. It's Micah.
Who sings that?
Foreigner.
Okay. I was going to say Scorpions, like the Scorpions, but it's not them.
Yeah, I think the Scorpions are a little more like hair metal-ish.
Yeah, they definitely are. Well, I think about that song like a hair metal band, but I've never seen Foreigner play. Like, I've never seen a clip of them on stage playing music, but I just hear the hot-blooded.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're kind of in that era of like Styx, like that transition between like 70s rock and hair metal, where they all had the feathered hair.
Yep.
But they weren't like aggressive. I don't even know if that's the right word, but they weren't like tough guys. They were still kind of like pretty boy rock.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were sensitive.
Yeah. They had feelings.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for them.
Yes. You know, speaking of sensitive, we're talking about Bloodborne today.
Yeah.
You know, the most sensitive game ever.
One of the most sensitive games ever, yeah. And if you can't take the blood, crew, maybe this episode's not for you. Because we're going to be so descriptive that you are going to grow eyeballs inside of your head and see all of the blood.
All the blood.
If you've played Bloodborne, you understand what I'm talking about. If not, you're fine, really. It's going to be okay. This is an audio podcast.
Or if you've played Bloodborne, you may still be very confused because it's FromSoft, so you'll probably still be a bit confused.
Oh, don't you worry. I have all of the lore of Bloodborne just resting in my noggin. It's living rent-free in there.
Excellent.
I got so into this when it came out that I found I think it was a 50-page article that somebody wrote.
It wasn't even an article. College dissertation they did on Bloodborne.
Exactly. And it was just like the lore of Bloodborne and thematically why things were happening and what this was and what that was. I found it so fascinating. I very, very, very much enjoyed this.
Okay. Yeah. I know you love Bloodborne.
It is probably my favorite FromSoft game.
Okay.
It's probably my favorite, even more than Elden Ring. Even though Elden Ring is really, really good, I think it's tough for me to say. Also, people, we're going to talk about Elden Ring probably.
Yeah, there will be some Elden Ring chat.
Because that's Thor's gateway into this.
Yeah, I got some updates for you too.
Oh, jeez. And so there's necessarily going to be some type of comparison in the conversation, comparing the two. And Bloodborne came out, I think, about 6 or 7 years prior.
Yeah,
to
2015.
Yeah, to so was it like, yeah, I guess it was like 6 or 7 years prior then.
Yeah.
Maybe 8, somewhere around there. It's a much older game than what a lot of people realize, and I think it holds up pretty well. Do you wanna chat anything prior to Bloodborne chat, or do we just dive right into the Bloodborne?
I mean, we haven't met Micah.
Huh.
We got our country back, bud. we took it back from the libs.
Some people are feeling pretty blue.
Yeah, no, this is our first post-election.
It is post-election, yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't really want to throw my thoughts out there. People probably know where I stand in general. Yeah. I am not a... I don't like...
I was like, let's just do a switch and become a political podcast today.
just today?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure.
No, I was...
The Healing Church is my party.
Yeah, the Healing Church, yeah.
Yeah, the Healing Church. You can be from Bergenworth, and we'll be opposing parties.
Yeah, no, that's just some of our... more liberal friends. And I truly don't care one way how anybody feels about anything. Vote how you want, feel how you want about stuff. But like, it's just in my nature to fuck with people. That's my favorite thing. So some of our more liberal friends, that's what I said to him like a couple days when I saw him a couple days after
you said
the
election. We got our country back. That's what you said.
I was just like, oh man, it was at D&D the next week.
Oh,
or
boy.
Like the Saturday after. And was like, how's everybody's week been? And they're like, it's been a long one, man. I've been off. So I was like, why are you so down, man? We got our country back, buddy.
Oh, jeez.
Just, you know what I mean? Just to fuck with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. I will say that every election cycle, whoever the losing side is, the people who supported the losing side really feel a deep fear of the next 4 years.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, I don't know, I feel like that's something that we've got to try and adjust.
I feel like that's contrived and intentional from
sure
from the people who
are wanting us to vote in one of the two parties.
Yeah,
I can see that. But because I like the people who were not voting for Donald J. Trump, I mean, they were very, most of them anyway, I'll say most of them were very loud online about all of the possible, and people listening to the show may feel this way, as far as like all of the super negative things that are going to be coming. And I mean, like, maybe, but yeah. Also we don't know.
And I would say the same thing to anybody, like had Kamala Harris won. Same thing. You would see the same freak out from.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm not saying that it was just, you know, only the left that would be doing that.
And I would tell them all the same thing. Hey, play some Bloodborne and chill out.
Yeah, that's the way to go.
Play some Bloodborne.
Just play some Bloodborne.
Yeah. You know? Because we all bleed red.
America. I know that you didn't mean to do it, but I went there.
We all bleed red and, I don't know, some weird black-colored ichor.
Ichor, yeah.
Once you've been influenced by some weird Cthulhu-esque outer god with a billion eyes.
A billion eyes, yeah. Yeah. All right, man. We're going to get into Bloodborne. Let's talk Bloodborne.
Let's do it. Hey, folks. Make sure to stay up to date on all the latest episodes by following us at Get Wrecked Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. Or if you have any recommendations you'd like to hear us review on the show, you can contact us directly via email. Or, I don't know, maybe you just want to send us some feet pics. You creep, I don't know what you're into. I don't care. We'll review those too. What do you think of that, huh? In any case, all your requests, feedback, and general criticism of the straight white patriarchy can be sent to getwreckedpod@gmail.com. That's GITRECDPOD at gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, folks, so today we are going to be talking about Bloodborne, a FromSoft game that was made in 2015. This is one of my favorite games of all time. This is a Souls-like. If you are familiar with the Dark Souls or Demon Souls franchise or Elden Ring, then you're probably familiar with this. It is a game that is tried and true for this program or for this developing company. They purposely make punishing, difficult games so that you get this fun satisfaction when you defeat these overbearing enemies and go through these levels that are just outright challenging. It's a pain in the neck. You become a little bit of a masochist as you play it, but weirdly, you find this joy and this love as you play the games. So Bloodborne is one that takes place in a very Victorian gothic horror setting where they pull a lot from that era of horror, but then they also splice in quite a bit of Cthulhu type of horror as well, like H.P. Lovecraft, cosmic horror.
Yeah, Eldritch.
Yes.
Eldritch terror.
Yes. Yeah. And this is one that I have wanted Thor to play ever since he told me he was liking Elden Ring. Like, ever since the very first time, he's like, yeah, I'm getting into Elden Ring. I'm like, well, then we have to play Bloodborne.
Yeah. It's like, been on the list for a long time.
We have to play Bloodborne. So Thor finally got around to playing it. I attempted to play it with you, but you just steamrolled through the game.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, because I was like, all right, I'll make a character. I'll start going on. Did we play together at all?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. So I don't know what that means, Thor, but why don't you give me your initial thoughts on Bloodborne?
It was awesome. I totally get why you love it so much.
Yeah.
For me, I definitely didn't love it as much. It's definitely not above Elden Ring for me.
Sure.
But same reason as, like, this was your kind of favorite entry. Elden Ring's kind of my one of my favorite entries of any video game. You know what I mean? So a couple of differences I noticed, I'll get in right away, is things I liked and didn't like. So what I did like is that it felt like you're kind of just random field enemies were, it felt much more difficult than Elden Ring in that respect of just like your random enemies you just come across.
Sure.
Were much tougher and much quicker to just kill you outright.
That really first quick. Town is real. It's a slog to get through initially.
Yes. Yeah. The bosses, I didn't like the bosses. The bosses were pretty easy.
Okay.
It felt like. Now, yeah. I didn't play the DLC, and I know you said that the DLC is, like, really good.
The DLC is very
good. So I did not get to the DLC. But overall, I felt like there was maybe two boss fights that really gave me trouble.
Which two were they?
The very first one, Father Gasoline.
Okay.
And yeah. that where you're in, like, a graveyard, and a lot of the difficulty of that is just the actual, like terrain itself.
Sure, like trying to dodge out of the way.
Trying to dodge, and there's all these stupid gravestones in the way.
Yep.
But also you're still learning the mechanics of the game, and parrying is a big part of the combat in this. So he was really difficult, and then the final boss of, like, the ending I got, which was the Garmin.
Okay.
The wheelchair guy when he gets out of the wheelchair.
Sure.
And becomes like a fucking monster.
Yeah, with his scythe. Yep. Yes. That is one of three endings to the game.
So those two really gave me trouble. The rest of them I really only tried maybe two or three times.
Okay.
One of them I beat, like, without even intentionally trying, I no-hit one of the bosses.
What?
The like lightning monster.
Okay.
When you get to It like transports you to the other. It's like a different dimension, I think. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it the, like, the lightning beast monster? Yes.
Yeah, the lightning beast monster.
Yes. Yeah. So that's like getting into like old Yharnam and Yharghul.
Yes.
Area,
yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yharghul. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I no hit that boss. Like, killed it.
Nice. Straight.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit! Like, and he killed
that's
me.
Awesome.
He killed me a few times.
Oh, okay, but so then, it wasn't the first fight.
Oh, it wasn't on my first shot, okay. No. But I figured out, so I didn't really, so one of the things I did with Elden Ring on a few, like, my first few playthroughs is, like, I looked up a lot of stuff to learn, just to learn how to actually get through the game and not fucking die. This, I really didn't do that.
Okay.
Except I just got stuck at one part where I just didn't know where to go. I had no idea where I was supposed to go at all. All
right.
So I watched a video. Now, the video also showed me how to get to this secret area, like the Hunter's, like the original Hunter's.
The Hunter's Nightmare?
Yeah, like the original Hunter's area.
Are you talking about, so in the game, the kind of hub is the Hunter's Dream. And there is an actual real life, quote unquote, area that the Hunter's Dream is based off of.
Yes, yeah, that place.
Okay, yeah.
So, and he basically showed me, okay, you go here, you pick up the doll's clothes,
mm-hmm.
and then you go back, you can sell them for like 20,000 money units, or blood echoes.
Blood echoes,
and then
yeah.
you buy a Godric sword, or whatever it is. What's his name? The big-ass greatsword.
Ludwig's Holy Blade?
Yeah, Ludwig's Holy Blade.
Best weapon
and
in the
game.
And
then you just use that. So once I got that, I was like, oh, I'm just the game is on fucking easy.
Now. Was that the main weapon you used?
Yeah.
It was the best weapon.
And that's easily. What I beat the Lightning Beast with, because it was just like, I could roll behind it and then just give it like two charged attacks and it would stagger it.
Sure.
And then just smash it. And I just kept doing that and I didn't get hit once.
Did you use the Greatsword version of it?
Yeah, primarily, yes.
Yeah, so the cool thing about the weapons in Bloodborne is they're all called switch weapons, and so they have two different forms. The one that Thor was talking about specifically, it's called Ludwig's Holy Blade. Ludwig is a character in the game, and it's a straight sword. It's a standard straight sword that you use one-handed, and then you've got this giant sheath for the sword on your back, and the sheath of the sword is in the shape of a greatsword.
Yeah, blade. It's like a stone greatsword. Yeah.
So you can hit a button, and then you sheath this sword, and then you just start swinging with the sheath on there, which is the switch weapon part of it. And so the cool thing that I thought was neat is that the sword itself does slashing damage, but when you have it, when you have the greatsword version of it, it does blunt damage.
Yeah, which is really good in the game.
Yeah.
Slashing damage is not so great.
Right.
Things have a lot of resistance to that typically, but blunt damage, it's pretty fucking good.
Blunt damage was really good, yeah. Or blunt damage was really good. Did you get to Castle Kanehurst? Did you do that area?
I think so. So, in full disclosure, it's been probably about a month and a half, two months since I played through it.
Castle Kanehurst is kind of a secret location.
Is Castle Kanehurst the one where everywhere you're running, like, there's that giant eye that's fucking hitting you with madness the whole time?
No, that's in one of the Hunter's Nightmares.
Okay, yes.
That's like the Nightmare of Mensis.
Yes, I think. Okay, which one's Kanehurst?
So Castle Kanehurst is probably the closest thing to a vampire setting, like old regal vampires in the game. Now, they're not vampires, but you have to get an invitation to Castle Kanehurst.
Okay.
And there's this dude named Alfred who gives it to you. He's dressed in like all white robes.
I don't think I went to Castle Kanehurst.
Oh, dude, it's one of the best places in the game. It's really, really, really
good.
Yeah,
I plan on probably playing through it again.
Yeah, Castle Kanehurst visually was, I think, one of the most beautiful places. It's also one of the most eerie places.
Is that the one where you jump into the lake to fight the Eldritch monster?
No, that's
like a school, right?
That is Bergenworth.
Okay, yeah, Bergenworth.
Yeah, and that's a place that you have to go to continue the story. Castle Kanehurst, and this is one of the things that I love about FromSoft. There's a whole area of the map that it sounds like...
I knew it existed.
Yeah, it sounds like Thor didn't get to.
I don't believe I got there now.
And FromSoft doesn't care that you didn't get there. Like...
Yeah, no, I don't think I was there.
It's...
Like you're showing me pictures, this does not look familiar at all.
So, yeah, there's a guy named King Ligarius that you fight at the very top, like on a rooftop building.
Yep, did not fight that guy.
Oh,
yep,
my gosh.
Never went there.
It's one of the best places in the game.
Okay.
As far as enemies and just the map, and it's basically you're going through a big castle. That's what the whole dungeon is. And so them, lore-wise, is very, very neat because they don't get along at all with the Healing Church. You find out that the Healing Church is not a great place, like, at all in what they're doing. Because basically shit hits the fan with the whole blood ministration. And rather than being like, crap, this is a mistake, they just kept doing it, but hiding it and sweeping it under the rug.
Yeah.
And anyway, one of my favorite things about From Software as a developer is that they'll just make giant portions of the game, and they're like, you know what? If you get to see it, you get to see it. But if you don't, oh well.
Yeah. Dude, so we'll just segue right into some Elden Ring chat. So, because I finished Bloodborne, and remind me of this coming back, I started a new game plus in Bloodborne.
Okay.
Only played for a little bit. I don't even think I went through the first town.
Okay.
And then I was like, I think I want to do another Elden Ring playthrough.
Of course you do. Okay.
So, which I'm currently playing through. And if once I finish this, I'll have played Elden Ring like 7.5 times.
That's so wild.
On my 7th playthrough of Elden Ring.
Yeah.
I am still discovering. So in Elden Ring, there is an area of the game that I have known existed. And I've looked up a number of things through Elden Ring. So I've done most of everything in the game. But on my last playthrough, and on the one I'm currently doing. So on the last playthrough, I found some NPCs I had never really met before.
Okay.
Because I no longer look anything up.
Sure.
Just because I'm like, I've played it enough times. Like, and there's one location that I've known existed, but I've refused to look it up. And I finally found it almost entirely by accident.
Okay.
Jarberg.
Jar. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
Jarberg with
the
whole
little, the town with all the jars.
Yeah, the town with all the little jars. I've never been able to find it.
Sure.
And I finally found it. So my seventh playthrough, and I'm still discovering new stuff in the game.
Yeah.
Like, it is such a testament to FromSoft and the way they build games. Now, once again, Elden Ring's a little bit different. It's so huge that, like, I imagine
Elden
playing
Ring is
Bloodborne
massive.
Seven times, probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
The neat thing, though, about Bloodborne is they have the Chalice Dungeons.
Yes.
Which were received with mixed reception, but I think that they're very, very cool. So they're procedurally generated dungeons.
Yeah.
That are available to you. And if you want, like, the best weapons in the game, that's where you get them.
Yeah, because you get, like, upgraded versions of the base weapons,
correct,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, and those are a lot of fun.
Yeah, I got trapped in the Chalice, not trapped in the Chalice Dungeon, but, like, that video I had to look up, how I ended up getting Ludwig's Holy Blade,
yeah,
is I thought the game was telling me to do the Chalice Dungeon to continue the story.
Oh, okay.
So I was just, like, grinding through it, and I'm like, what the hell is... When am I going to get to the end? When is the story going to progress? And I mentioned it to you, and you're like, no, that's just like an extra thing you do. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
So then I had to watch the video to figure out where to go. But yeah, no, I liked it. I thought it was very cool. And it was really challenging, too.
Yeah. So with this Chalice Dungeons, there are a set of dungeons that are not procedurally generated. And those are like the main ones to unlock the deeper dungeons.
Yeah.
But then when you unlock those deeper ones, you'll get... They're essentially keys to create procedurally generated dungeons at different degrees of difficulty. But there is a boss at the very bottom dungeon who is Queen Yharnam, as far as the character, Queen Yharnam, who is really the crux of a lot of this storyline. Like, she's really at the centerfold of it.
Okay.
And she's a beast to deal with. But that's where you find her, and you fight her there. Yeah. You probably saw her when you went into the Nightmare of Mensis and fought a boss called Murgo's Wet Nurse.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so she was probably looking in. It was like a bride type of character, but in, like, where her stomach area is, it just everything was blood red.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. So the Queen Yharnam, she was chosen to give birth to one of the outer gods.
Okay.
And that's what was going on there. So that's who you fight. That's the boss in the bottom of the Chalice Dungeons.
Very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, Bloodborne's such a cool game. I love it so much. Thematically, it, like, just gets... I love when a game, lore-wise, works thematically. And it's so cool to me because basically, in the storyline, they're like, hey... We figured out how to heal people through administering this specific type of blood. What they don't tell you is that this blood comes from this outer god being who somehow got trapped in Thumeria, which is where these dungeons are. So they started using that thing's blood and administering it to people, and then they were just magically healed.
Yeah.
So there's that, and then as the storyline progresses, they create a school called Bergenworth, and this guy named Willem is the leader of that, and he's in the mindset of, we need to understand exactly what this is, and that's the route that we need to go. We need to investigate the outer beings, and that's how we can progress as society. And then other people... Lawrence was, I think, the other characters, like, no, that's not the way to go. The blood is the way to go for us to progress. So they diverged paths.
Yeah.
And so you've got two currencies in the game. One is called Blood Echoes, and the other one is called Insight, which Insight you get at a much smaller frequency. But whenever you see a monster, it gives you insight. And then you can use that insight to purchase things in the Hunter's Dream.
Yeah.
But that insight is representative of the world being exposed to you and you being able to see the outer beings. And I just think that it's so cool that narrative-wise, there are these two factions. One is really focusing on the outer gods, and then the other one is focusing on the whole idea of administering this blood and turning it into this weird religion.
Yeah.
And then that's your two currencies mechanically in the game.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah, no, it is very cool. Yeah, it's almost like knowledge versus like religion. Almost like there's like this scholarly attempt to look at it. It reminds me of, gosh, what is it? Like Golden Compass, like that world.
Oh, sure.
With the dust.
Yeah.
You know, if you think of it like in those terms, where you have some people who want to understand it and then other people who just want to use it to create order and create a functional society.
Yeah. Well, and so, in again, narrative-wise, they wanted to do good things, right? Because they're like, this is healing everybody. But then it was turning them into werewolves.
Yeah, it was making them insane and turning them into monsters. Oh, my God. Speaking of fucking werewolves.
Oh, speaking of werewolves.
Okay, so you get to this, like, you get to this area, the main city.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk in, there's the creepy guy who's like, hello, please send people here. I will save them. Nothing to fear from me. Ha ha.
Yeah.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Who clearly seems like he's evil. I don't think he's actually evil, though. He seems like he's actually a good guy.
He's a very nice man.
But he's intentionally built, like his character is intentionally built to make you think he's evil.
Sure.
It doesn't matter, though. So you start collecting people. You collect this old lady who's kind of a dick to you.
By collecting, you mean like you're running across them.
Yeah, you're saving them.
Yeah.
You're basically like, hey, you're scared. You've locked yourself in your house because you're scared.
Yeah.
Come to this church. There's this weirdo, but he's nice. So come hang out with him. We'll take care of you there.
Yeah.
So I collect the old lady. I get her to safety. Mm-hmm. I collect the prostitute who gives you her blood, which is... I love that character. I love that she gives you her blood and it's like a buff.
Uh-huh.
And like, if you already have some and you ask her for more, she's like, my Lord, you are thirsty. Jeez. Like, and then, so I save another guy.
Uh-huh.
And I go back. I send him to this place and I go and talk to him. He's like, yeah, thank you for sending me here. It's awesome. And I leave and I come back and one of the people are gone. And there's just like a little, you know, item you pick up, the old lady's dead. And yep. I'm like, oh, that's weird, but I don't understand exactly what's happened. And then I leave for a while and I come back, and now the good guy who asked you to bring people here is dead. The hooker, my favorite hooker, is dead.
Man.
The hooker with the heart of gold. But then that guy's still out there. And I'm like, dude, what's going on with this?
Yeah.
And then he keeps giving you stuff, like this blood or something.
Sure.
And then at that point, I put the pieces together and I'm like, oh, this dude fucking killed these guys.
Everybody. Yep.
So then I'm like, at first I'm like, yeah, maybe I just let him go. But I'm like, no, he killed my favorite hooker.
He totally swindled you. Yeah.
So I attack him.
Uh-huh.
And then he turns into a badass werewolf and fucks me up.
Yep. 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 What a cool fight that is.
Yeah, but I felt like so stupid because I'm like, I could have realized it immediately when the old lady was dead.
Sure.
But I just ignored it. Like, I just didn't put the pieces together.
Yeah.
And then my favorite hooker died.
I can't believe he killed your favorite hooker, man. That's the worst.
I really liked that character. I thought it was such a cool character.
She is a cool character. They actually, there's a lot of, they allude quite a bit that she is from Kanehurst.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. She obviously has something going on because her blood is like magical. She gives you some of her blood and I forget what it does, but it gives you some kind of buff. It like heals extra good or something.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
As far as people that you can bring to that place that you're referring to is called Odin Chapel.
Yeah.
And the people that you can bring there, you've got the hooker. You've got the werewolf man.
Yeah. Cranky old lady.
Cranky old lady.
And who is not... I'm honestly kind of glad she got eaten by the werewolf guy because she was a dick. She doesn't even appreciate the fact that you saved her.
Yeah, she's not very thankful. It's like she's that old lady that complains about everything and then you do something nice for her and then she complains that you didn't do it quick enough.
Yeah, yeah. She finds something else to complain about the way you helped her.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh my gosh. But you realize that she's going to be dead in 2 years. So like just let her have her peace type of thing. That's the type of character that
she's
she
is. My grandmother. So I'm like, God damn it.
So there's that, and then there's another man who is referred to as the Lying Man, L-I-E-I-N-G, and then there's another woman that you can get who is...
I don't even think I met the Lying Man.
Yeah, there's another woman that you can get who is basically a nun of the church.
Okay.
And So the lying man, the reason that they call him that is because he loves to gossip about all the stuff that's happening in Odin Chapel. Yeah. And he tells you all about the other people and their secrets. But everything that he tells you is the opposite of what is true.
Okay.
So the nun that you get, you find her when... Did you get grabbed by a body snatcher in the game? Or did you reach Yahar Ghul?
I got grabbed by a body snatcher. So, yeah, the first time I got there.
Yeah, so after you reach a certain point in the game, these giant dudes with big sacks, it's a weird way to put it, burlap sacks that they hang over, not like...
Also huge testicles.
Yeah, that too. They show up, and then if you lose to one of them, you don't die normally. You have this small little cutscene, and they take you to a different location. And in that new location is where you find the nun. But you have to be wearing church garbs in order for her to talk to you.
Oh, okay.
Because otherwise she doesn't trust you at all.
Interesting. Okay.
So if you talk to her, you can tell her to go back to Odin Chapel. But what's really wild is that she is super jealous of your conversations with the hooker.
Okay.
Like, super jealous, because she will also give you blood.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Can never have too much blood.
Can never have too much blood. I say that all the time. It's a catchphrase. And so there's a thing where he's like, you know that lady of the night? She's extremely jealous of you when you talk to that churchwoman. And so, of course, what he's saying is the opposite of what is true.
Yeah.
And it's wild. She's sitting down, she being the nun, is sitting down like in a prayer position. And if you go and talk to the hooker, you can see that every time that you start talking with her, the nun just turns and watches you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And just watches you as you're talking.
Neat.
So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of really cool small things in this game that are like that.
Dude, that's the story of FromSoft, I think. At least it's just small details that you got to pay attention to. I might play Bloodborne again after this Elden Ring playthrough. I kind of want to go through the Dark Souls series because I've never played... I've never played them. I mean, I played the first one for like an hour and hated it and then refused to play any more of them until I finally got talked into playing Elden Ring.
Yeah, so I played Demon Souls, and Demon Souls had a little bit of charm to it, but it didn't have enough to keep me playing. And then when Dark Souls came out, I thought, this is better. Like, mechanically, it's better. It's a little bit less clunky.
Yeah.
But it still didn't grab me as much. Weirdly, Dark Souls 2 really grabbed me. So that was like my first real big entry. And I played that a lot with our buddy Andy. And he and I like co-opted through that entire thing like four times. But Miyazaki, he's like the darling / I don't know if he's a CEO, but he's a very high position in
FromSoft. He's like the creator, though.
Yeah, he's like the creator. He wasn't involved in Dark Souls 2. Because I'm pretty sure that he was working on Bloodborne.
Oh, God.
And so somebody else was the visionary for Dark Souls 2, and a lot of people didn't like it as much. I personally like Dark Souls 2, but that's a hot take, and I'm very much in the minority.
Okay.
But it also could be, that's the first one that like really grabbed me, because I felt like at that point it was polished enough that I didn't hate playing it. I always thought that Demon Souls and Dark Souls looked really cool, but it just, I didn't feel like the motion was polished enough. It was just, I don't know. It was just a little bit rough around the edges.
No, like I said, I did not enjoy Dark Souls when I played it the first time. Because I was like, it's hard. It just doesn't feel fun to play.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that was my whole take on it was that everybody's like, this game is so hard. And I was like, just because something's hard to do is not a reason to do it. And I was like, the game just doesn't feel great. So I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And I do think that it was, as you go back, like, I think that, do you think that Bloodborne was more punishing than Elden Ring?
Initially, yes, for sure.
Okay.
'Cause even coming with, and I feel like I had a lot of, like, mechanically, like, how to dodge, how to read attacks.
Yeah.
Like, I still had to, like, learn a lot. You know what I mean? It was still very difficult, especially in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, in the combat system,
and then
is
also
a little bit
once I got had I not watched that guy's video, had I not switched to Ludwig's Holy Blade,
mm-hmm.
I think honestly my playthrough probably would have been more difficult. That weapon is just really good.
It's very good.
And so it did feel more punishing. Like I said, the bosses, that's my biggest complaint, is like the bosses just
sure.
weren't that difficult. But obviously I also missed some of them because I didn't get to the queen of wherever at the bottom of the dungeons.
Yeah.
I didn't get to this Kanehurst place.
Yeah. There's also another one you missed at the end of the game.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I did watch a video on, like, okay. a lore video.
Sure.
So I understood a little bit what was going on. So, yeah you end up fighting, like, one of the Eldritch monsters.
Yeah, it's
end,
called
right?
the Moon Essence. Yeah. So our buddy Zach McCrary from the comics that we love played this game with me because it was I probably was like, you have to play this game. And yeah. Zach likes to play games, but he's not like me with video games. Definitely not like you with Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Like, he's a very laid back gamer, kind of casual gamer. And so I knew that it was going to be a lot to get him to really enjoy Bloodborne. And let me tell you, he had the worst playthrough of Bloodborne. Like, the worst things that could happen, he did. Because he got into Odin Chapel, and that real creepy guy who's your best friend.
Yeah.
Basically, he talks, and McCrary just goes, oh shit, and just kills him.
Yeah.
Just immediately
well, and it makes sense,
because
he just kind of creeps up to you, and he's like, hey! And yeah. he looks like every other thing that wants to kill you.
Sure. And so I get a text. I think it was a text. It might have been a call. But it was, Micah, I think I fucked up. Because I told him, it's like, after you fight this guy, naming Father Gascon.
Yeah.
You're going to come to a church. That church has the only good person in the entire game.
Yeah.
Don't kill that person. That's what I said. And he sends me, I'm just going to say it was a text. He sends me a text that says, I think I fucked up. So I called him and he goes, yeah. So I went up and into this church and this guy like jump scared me. So I killed him. And then as he was dying, he just said, all I wanted to do was help people.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, that's all he wants to do. So because that guy died, he couldn't recruit anybody to Odin Chapel. Like, so he lost out on all of that. And then when you reach the
well,
end
couldn't
of,
he have sent him to the hospital for you, them to be killed?
Yes, you could have sent them to ISF's
you know,
clinic.
I just liked the chapel, so I sent people there.
Yeah.
And I also like that like, you can be like, yeah, send people to the hospital. And then once you get far enough in the game, you get into the hospital and you realize it's just monsters in there
yeah.
that are trying. And I was like, oh, God, had I sent people here, they would have just been killing them.
She would have been she. So, yeah, she turns them into those little mushroom people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you send everybody there, then when you go there, there's a lot more mushroom people. And then you'll get like the hooker's blood vial.
Okay, yeah.
From one of them. And you'll, like, whatever items they drop, they'll drop. And then you'll be like,
just
oh.
once, yeah. And start yeah. getting them multiple times, yeah.
Yeah. And there's also a lot of talk that the original Iosefka doctor gets replaced with a false Iosefka doctor through the gameplay, or through the game. Because there's actually two voice actors that play Dr. Iosefka.
Oh, okay.
And there's one that's called Imposter Iosefka. So, again, storyline-wise, at some point, they, I'm guessing that they turn that doctor into one of those little mushroom people and then take on the role of Iosefka so that you can keep sending people there.
Okay.
Yeah. But then Zach gets to the end of the game, and there's three endings to the game. One is the one that you got, which is the most common ending to get. There's the quote-unquote yeah. true ending.
Yeah, where you fight Garamond, and then you just basically take his place. You become the old man in the wheelchair.
Yep.
With the we got to talk about the doll, too, but yeah, go
oh,
on.
Yeah.
Go on with Zach's.
Yeah, you can have your way with her if you
yeah,
want.
Dude,
should it please
dude,
you?
I love this game. So I love this game specifically for, if nothing else for this, is you meet this old man in this dream, and much like other FromSoft games, is the kind of story unfolds nothing is given to you. The story just kind of unfolds and you have to read into stuff and like really look at item descriptions to understand exactly what's going on. But you meet this old man who's in a wheelchair and he's like, oh, you probably noticed the doll out there. Well, you can use it if you want. Many of us have, or something like that. Basically, like, hey, if you want to fuck the doll, go ahead. Go ahead, fuck the doll.
We all do it.
We all fuck the doll.
So weird.
Because it's just this weird doll dressed in, like, a cute outfit that's just...
It's like a life-size.
Sitting lifeless.
Know, a full life-size doll. Well, and you know, when she comes alive, the reason that she... becomes alive.
It's because you gain insight.
It's because you gain insight. Like, how cool is that?
So then you can see her, yes.
So one of the endings is you take Garamond's place because he was the founder of the Church Hunters. And you take his place. So he's basically there as like a liaison for all of the hunters that have the Hunter's Dream.
Yeah.
And so you can take his spot. The other option is you have to eat umbilical cords of great ones.
Yes.
Yep. And you have to eat three specifically.
Yeah, that's what the Eldritch monsters are called, is the Great Ones.
Yeah. So you can find four Great One umbilical cords. If you eat three of them, then after you defeat Garamond, the Moon Presence comes and you fight that. And that's like the quote-unquote true ending.
Okay.
And then there's another ending where when you meet Garamond, he asks you if... He's like, do you just want me to end this all? And you can say yes or no. If you say no, you fight him. So if you say yes, he just beheads you. There's no fight.
And then the game just ends.
And then the game ends. And so your character wakes up in Yharnam, and it's basically he's severing your tie to the Hunter's Dream, and you wake up with no knowledge of what has happened. So you, like, just become a standard person. And that's what Zach did. That's the option that he picked. And
it's fair because there is no indication as to what you should choose.
Exactly.
There's no indication. It's like, hey, do you want to wake up from the dream? And you're like, yeah, this is a fucking horrible hellscape. Of course.
Yeah. But you don't get either of the main bosses at the end. And Zach was so pissed because it's very anticlimactic too.
You just
it's a thing where it's a full panel shot. The moon is in the background. You're in this beautiful like field of lilies and you're a silhouette. Garamond's a silhouette and you just see him chop your head off. And then you wake up and then it gives you the credits. And I get a text from Zach and I'm going to just quote Zach and he goes, is this really fucking it? Did I really just play this whole fucking game for some old piece of shit to just cut my head off? And that's just that's the fucking end of the game? And I thought, oh man, yeah, you shouldn't have said that. That's the only thing that I could respond to him with. It was like, yeah, that's the worst option that you could have picked. Zach was so pissed. I don't think that he's played it again. I think it angered him so much.
I could see that, yeah.
That he has not played Bloodborne since. Yeah. And Zach, if you're listening to this, you should play Bloodborne again. All right? You played it the worst you could play it.
Yeah, and choose no fight Garamond. I mean, it's a good fight. That is a solid fight that...
Yeah.
So this is something I'm learning from. Once again, we'll veer into a little bit of Elden Ring chat. My current Elden Ring playthrough.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing a couple things different that I've never done before.
Okay.
I'm doing like a blood build, which I never did.
Okay.
But also I'm using two daggers because I'm using the Reduvia.
Okay.
Like
the bleed daggers?
Yeah.
That can like toss little
yeah.
blood arcs?
It's really fucking good. But I'm going light armor.
Okay.
And I'm capping out at 175.
Okay.
For level. So I'm at like 153 right now or something like that, level 153. But I'm going to cap out. I'm not going to just keep going to like 200 or whatever. I'm literally just capping out. But dude, being light armor and using daggers, so you got to get in close. Like literally this is probably one of my toughest playthroughs. And also I'm doing no summons of any kind.
Sure.
Whatsoever. It's an entirely different experience.
Yeah.
Like you can't just have a really good weapon like Ash of War. You can't just rely on your summons. Like, I genuinely have to, every boss, it's like, I have to genuinely learn their movesets.
Sure.
I have to, like, actually figure out how to beat them. Whereas any other playthrough I've done before, I used, like, knowledge of, like, okay, what's a way that I can just do a bunch of damage? Or how can I summon a really good spirit? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas this time, I have to actually learn the moves. I have to actually learn when to dodge and, like, really, like, dial in.
Sure.
It's genuinely probably, like, I've become, like, my skill of playing has probably stepped up.
Like, quite a bit, I'd imagine.
Quite a bit, yeah. Because it's genuinely fucking difficult. Dude, no summons, light armor with daggers where you got to get up in their ass.
Sounds awful.
It's fun. I mean, it's rewarding, dude.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's a fun play style, too. But in any case, so that's what Garamond is. Like, you can't just dodge and hope to beat Garamon. Like, he is a punishing boss. You have to genuinely learn his moveset. He reminds me a lot of Malenia, because he does a lot of where he'll kind of idle and let you, like, he'll just kind of, like let you make the move. He won't just, like, attack. He's not super aggressive.
Sure.
But if you don't dodge at the right time, if you don't read his moves, it will punish you. Because, I mean, he will fuck you up quick.
Yeah. Yeah, he will. I'm pretty sure that I died to him a lot the first time.
Dude, that was the toughest fight. And that's fair. It's the final fight. It should be tough.
Yeah.
It's definitely... It was definitely a rewarding battle to actually beat. It, like, felt really good. I didn't even know it was the final battle either.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I thought there might still be more game. I didn't know for sure.
Yeah. Well, next, if you decide to go through it again...
I think I'm going to, and I'm going to probably try to hit all the secret stuff I missed.
Yeah, I would also try to hit the DLC. The DLC is so good. And as far as bosses, the bosses in the DLC are amazing. They're really, really, really good.
Okay.
You get to meet the woman who the doll was based off of.
Okay.
And, like, molded after.
Yeah. Dude, I love the doll character.
Yeah.
Dude... Do you feel like she's an inspiration for Ronnie in Elden Ring? Like, just visually, anyway?
Maybe.
She kind of reminded me a lot of Ronnie. As far as, like, the way she looked. Just purely, like, aesthetics. Not even...
Yeah.
Like, the role she plays in
that. I could see that.
I mean, she's kind of close... Like, the role she plays is closer to, like, Melina.
Yeah. Yeah, she's your kindling maiden.
Yeah, you can get information about the world from her.
Yeah,
She levels you up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can fuck her if you want. There wasn't an option to do it, but you assume that's going on.
Could happen.
That's part of the channeling blood echoes, I assumed.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, we are, we're at that time, buddy. We're at that time to start rating it. We went a little deep into Bloodborne, crew. I don't know if you were expecting that, but it was some pretty deep nerd talk. Sorry we weren't talking, I don't know.
Yeah, we didn't talk that much about lore.
And, yeah.
I mean, it is genuinely, I 100% understand what you like about why you love this game so much.
I think thematically it's just my favorite.
It's thematically so great.
Yeah.
It's one of those rare, like... it's such a great blending of an incredible story mixed with really satisfying gameplay.
Yeah.
Something
totally, well, I mean, it's related to this, but a little bit unrelated. Sony is looking into purchasing From Software's parent company.
Okay.
So if that goes through, then all of From Software stuff might become PlayStation exclusive things.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. A lot of people are angry about it.
Okay. Not cool.
Yeah. But
I play PlayStation, so I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's where I'm at, I don't care. Yeah. But
I get, because I know a lot of people like their FromSoft on the PC. They like their mods. Dude, I was reading an article the other day, once again, we'll veer in some Elden Ring chat. There is a mod where for Elden Ring, you can make every enemy, every single enemy in the game, Perfect Consort Radahn.
Why?
It was a Reddit thread.
Okay.
And the guy was explaining because he was like, he was basically, I did it. I did the perfect Consort Radon playthrough.
Okay.
Where every enemy, single enemy is perfect Consort Radon.
Wait, he beat the game that way? Yes.
So essentially, that means every boss you have to beat is perfect Consort Radon.
Oh my gosh. So
you, and what he said, he was like, it really isn't fun. It's one of those things you just do to do.
Uh-huh.
But he said it's like, it's really not fun. The majority of the game is running away.
I bet.
The majority of the game is just running away.
Because you're saying every enemy.
Every single enemy is perfect Consort Radon.
Even just like the little...
He shared a screenshot of Lerna of the Lakes.
Yeah.
When there's all those little flowers that run around and shit. And it's literally just like 15 perfect Consort Radons on a battlefield. Yeah.
No, thank you.
And I'm pretty sure it was a real level one playthrough. Which, honestly, if I play Elden Ring again, that's probably my last stand, is a real level one fucking playthrough.
That's insane, though, to do. Like, I would have no desire to do that.
You have to rely on, from what I've read about it, you have to rely on, like, a lot of buffs.
I'll bet,
there are certain things you have to get, like, the Grafted Blade Greatsword. You, like, two-hand that. You get certain talismans and stuff. But yeah, you have to rely on like blood loss and buffs. And I was reading a good bit into it because I was like, this seems insane. But yeah, you do a real level one playthrough.
Jeez. That's so dumb.
Dude, I mean, it's one of those, like I said, where you have to learn how to just dodge. That's it. Like I've watched videos of people doing a level one, no Scatu Tree blessing.
Sure.
Beating perfect Consort Radon. It where literally you just have to learn how to dodge every single hit. It's basically a no-hit playthrough, because if you get hit once, you're just going to be dead.
Yeah. Yeah, oh man.
But I forget how we got there. Oh, FromSoft might be PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, might be PlayStation.
Because people like PC, they like their mods.
Well, and this is, Bloodborne is PlayStation exclusive. Like, Bloodborne is not on PC to this day. Okay. Yeah, because PlayStation has some of the rights to it.
Oh, somebody has made a bit of a port.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
There's no officially licensed
one, yeah.
Yeah, officially licensed one. But all right, crew. Thor, so with that being said, where are we gonna rate this? Let's rate it on a scale of 1 to 25 eyeballs inside of your head.
Okay, let's see. Well, let's go down things I like, things I don't like, things I love about this game. The lore, visually, it's just fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I was taken aback a little bit just because I didn't realize this game was like 10 years old.
Okay.
So the graphics just weren't what I was expecting, so they felt a little bit like not great.
Sure.
After I played for a couple hours, though, I didn't even notice it. I was like, oh, it looks fine. Yeah. It was just, if you go right from playing Elden Ring to playing this, you will definitely notice there's a drop-off. It's 10 years old. It's totally forgivable. Not anything I'm holding against it. But visually, like, the world is... You have to be into, like, occult, eldritch horror type stuff. But yeah, like, gothic cathedrals and, like, old, like, 1800s villagers and stuff like that. So visually, it's just fucking really cool. I love that all of your, like, gear, like, your armor, no matter what you wear, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's one of my biggest complaints about Elden Ring is you can't reskin any of your gear.
Yeah.
So, if you don't want your character to look like a dumbass, sometimes you have to, like, wear equipment that is less good because you don't want to look fucking stupid.
There's a lot of helmets in Elden Ring that I feel are that way.
That suck. Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah.
So I love that no matter what you wear, you look cool.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. I love the Switch weapons, and I love that it's a limited amount of weapons because that's another thing with Elden Ring. Not that I love that you have so much options
mm-hmm.
and so much choice in Elden Ring. There's like how many hundreds of weapons, but really a lot of them just aren't good, or they just all kind of do the same thing. They don't feel, there's like 10 different katanas and they don't really feel that much that sure. different. So whereas this, there's only like maybe 10 weapons or something like that.
Right, and, but they're all very distinct.
Yeah, and they all have their own distinct play style. Mm-hmm. So I like kind of the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
Not even simplicity, just it's very streamlined. So the weapons are great. The armor is great. It all looks great. It all plays unique. You can kind of play your unique style. The different stats, I didn't feel like the difference in what stats you buffed didn't feel like it made a huge difference. Like it didn't okay. feel it like it def it did, but it just didn't feel like there was enough benefit to go into other stats besides strength, really.
Strength is very powerful.
Yeah, strength is really powerful, and the other ones, it just, even had I diverged into like, oh, I want to play mostly with like the guns and the sidearm.
That's a really tough build to do.
Exactly.
In that game.
It just didn't feel like there was any real payoff to do that.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a negative to it. Once again, the actual base enemies, the field enemies, I felt really tough. The mobs of enemies will fucking annihilate you real quick.
Yeah, because there's like, the very first place has literal mobs.
Yeah, that just
groups of
annihilate.
Yeah, of five or six guys that are just so walking quick. Around together.
Yeah, so that's almost like a trade-off, whereas like I feel Elden Ring has way better bosses,
mm-hmm.
but the baseline enemies are just not as interesting or difficult. Whereas Bloodborne's kind of the opposite. I felt like the baseline field enemies were scarier and more intimidating, and the bosses just weren't as sure. as difficult.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of anything else I like or disliked. That's probably it.
How do you feel about the combat compared to Elden Ring? Because the combat's, I would say, quicker.
It's less versatile. There's not a ton of, you don't have a bunch of spells and sorceries yeah. and shit you can do, which is fine. I think it's equally as satisfying.
Or what about the life gain mechanic? That's
I did like that. I thought that was very cool. Where because everything's so much about blood, like you get hit and you take damage, you have a certain time frame where you can hit an enemy and gain your life back.
Yeah,
I liked that, especially because separate from Elden Ring, your like health potions are finite.
Yeah,
you can buy more, but when you're like out in the world, you know, you have to manage like your resources a little bit more. So I liked that they had that mechanic of it.
Yeah.
So I did enjoy that. And also it just kind of played into the whole thing of everything being about blood.
Yeah. Cause they're syringes. Like the health potions in that game are syringes that you're just stabbing into your leg.
Yes.
And injecting blood into you so yeah. that you can get better. Just wild.
All right. So I'm going on a scale. You said 1 to 25 eyes in my head.
Yeah.
I'll probably go like 20.
Okay.
Probably like 20 eyes in my head. 22.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's
I'll go
high.
22. Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I fucking think it's a great game. I do want to do. Oh, also one of the things I really like I said, I did start a new game plus.
Okay.
One of the things that I don't love about Elden Ring, I liked about this. With Elden Ring, if you do a new game plus, I've only done it twice.
Okay.
It's not that fun for me, personally, because I feel like when you do a new game plus in Elden Ring, you're a fucking superhero for the first 80% of the game.
Yeah, I've heard it doesn't scale very well.
It does not scale well at all.
Yeah.
Until you get to, like, the very end of it. Whereas this, I started doing that new game plus playthrough, and I thought it would be the same, and I started getting fucked up right away. It scales like really well for new game plus, where
yeah.
you so I think that's definitely a benefit, because I would like to do new game pluses in Elden Ring, but they're just it's just not rewarding, because it's like when you're just running through, cutting things down with everything you see, just killing it with one hit. It's like, what is even the purpose
sure.
of this anymore? So, yeah, no. So I think it's honestly a lot of it are the things that I like or the things that I don't like about the other game. So it's kind of a trade-off.
Okay. That's interesting
for me. Yeah. I also like that this was short comparatively.
It is much shorter than Elden Ring.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not to say it's short, but I would say probably like a 40, 50 hours
somewhere
you play
there,
through
yeah.
the whole game. Yeah, for sure.
And didn't Hideaki, or I'm sorry, Hidetaka Miyazaki.
Ugh. Nailed it.
Thank you. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure that he said that Elden Ring was like 100 hours long before the game came out.
No, no. He said about 50 or 60 hours to play through it.
That's what he said. Yeah. And it's literally quadruple that time.
Yeah.
I think that my first playthrough was 200 hours in Elden Ring. Like, what a guy. What a Chad.
Yeah. So, quite hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, there you have it, crew. 22?
Yeah, 22.
Eyeballs inside of our head out of 25? You know where I stand. It's going to be all the way from me. What do you guys think? Have anybody out there played Elden Ring or Bloodborne?
Yeah, we're talking about Bloodborne.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've been talking about both, so I think that's Elden true. Ring just jumped into my
brain.
Have
you played any FromSoft games?
Have you played any FromSoft game? Is there one that's better? I think Bloodborne's the best. Thor thinks that Elden Ring is the best.
I also haven't played a lot of them, so...
Yeah, who out there is a diehard Sekiro fan with Shadows Die Twice?
I have heard that's very difficult. I would like to play that.
It is very difficult. I've started a playthrough. It is challenging. It is challenging, and it's very limiting in its scope.
That's like a samurai game, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, get a hold of us. You can find us on a multitude of different platforms. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Threads. You can also send us an email at getrecpod@gmail.com. Thor, how do we spell that?
That's GitRecpod@gmail.com.
All right. With that being said, Thor, what are we getting into next week?
Well, what did you get into next week?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Next week, we have a special episode. Our good friend of the show, Patrick Hooker, and also our other good friend of the show, Dan Barton, came by to do an episode sans Thor. So it was a thing. Patrick lives a little bit away from us, and he was in town, and I thought, man, if you're in town, we got to do an episode. Patrick did our theme music. We're very thankful for that. And so I had Patrick recommend something, and he recommended the Penguin series on Max, formerly known as HBO Max. So we are going to be talking about the first four episodes of The Penguin, starring Colin Farrell. And Dan was gracious enough to join us, so it's the three of us chatting about that. We get into some possible future casting with who we would like to see as Batman villains as well.
Yeah, I have not listened to the episode yet to edit it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so yeah, Terminator timelines, this has already been recorded, but yeah, that's what's coming out next week. I was not in for that. I wanted to, too. I actually watched a few episodes of it.
Oh, yeah?
The initial plan was like, yeah, maybe I would sit in with it. I had stuff going on. We didn't know if we could make it.
Sure.
And then when it came time for recording that day, you were like, hey, we only have three microphones.
Yep.
And I was trying to move stuff around anyway, and I was like, you know what? Just the three of you. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I'm excited to hear your guys' thoughts on it.
Yeah. It's, spoiler alert, I was so far a fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you my thoughts on it is, like, I've watched three episodes, I think, and it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. So next week, tune in, crew. We're going to be talking about The Penguin. As always, folks, until next time.
Wait. Yeah.
Okay. I did both.
Yeah, you did the second one.
Until next time, folks.
As always.
Oh, you get wrecked out there.
And stay wrecked.
Someday I'll get it. Maybe.
Maybe.
Probably not.
Just play more Bloodborne.
I'm just going to play more Bloodborne. Yep. I'm going to drink my sorrows away. These post-election blues, I don't have them. Because I'm playing Bloodborne.